Father, thank you for tonight, and God, I do ask for your spirit to teach, and that you would teach, Lord, and I would get out of your way, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful material that you give me to use, your word. So God, thank you, and God, just pray that we would all be exhorted, that we would all be comforted, Lord, that your beautiful promises, your wonderful promises and covenants to us, and this chapter and your word. So God, just that we would leave here more in love with you tonight, Lord, and that we would know you better, and we would know that intimacy that we have with you and your word and how much you love us. So God, just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, title for tonight, chapter 9. So we'll start there. And what we have for tonight is simply life abundantly. And we come to chapter 9. As we know, we came from chapter 8. That title was Behold, All Things Have Become New, right? From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that newness of life of what came after the flood. And now we come into chapter 9 with God. Let's start with verse 1. God says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" And so I get that title for tonight out of John chapter 10. And I'm going to read John chapter 10, verse 10. And we will see why and what this chapter has for us. So John chapter 10, verse 10, the Good Shepherd chapter, he says, and you can kind of see the parallel in this whole chapter, because we see that man, he doesn't wipe away sin, right? He wipes away all this, the mankind, because of the sin that abounded, and how that their hearts only thought about things that were wicked continually. So he needed to wipe out all that. Just think of God's mercy in that, to wipe all that out. And then he, by grace through faith, he preserves Noah and his family, because Noah believed by faith and received that grace and all that he did in the ark. And so we can see what Jesus says. These are Jesus' words. This is in red. And he says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And so Jesus says to Noah, he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And verse 2 says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." And you know, I had it this morning too, how that God gave, you know, Genesis. God, we came from that, where God, you know, gave the commands to Adam and Eve, and he said to, you could eat freely of all the trees, right? We were exhorted to that our minds would be set on, you know, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, think on these things. That exhortation to think on the things that are above. And so here God says all, right? And that this title, life abundantly, you think of just, you know, this new life, this new earth that was, it was a lot different, right? We had the water canopy over the earth. That's different. They had seasons now in this new life. You imagine Noah and his sons and their kids coming off of the ark, and how everything had to be, just how different everything was. And so just kind of thinking about that, and how we are as new believers, right? That joy that we receive when we are born again, that new life, that new creation that we receive in this life. And so thinking about that in Rapid City this last week, going down there, and we went to Target, of course. That, you know, my wife, she loves the deals, and unfortunately, I think they just went to 70% off today. But you know, we were at Target and kind of carrying this chapter 9 with me this couple weeks. So I have a couple weeks to just chew on this, meditate on this, and just how the newness of life, and right, this new, And God says, be fruitful and multiply, right? Life abundantly. And I was thinking about my son, Judah, little Judah, and he was in Target and just watching him at Target and how he just, everything was like it was brand new. It was, man, he was so excited. We were walking through the toy aisles and just the excitement of him and his, just all the new things. And Dad, look at all these toys. And like everything was just, he was so excited to be there. And it was just, so I was just looking at him and just thinking of that and just how, man, you know, just that, how we, you know, we are to rejoice and to have that joy of salvation and just that abundance of life, the youth and how everything was brand new. And, just kind of that parallel between here and that and what, you know, just them getting off of the boat and here they go into this new world, right? The new beginnings and this new life that they had and then God gives them the commands and then they have, everything was given, all things, even as the green herbs. And then we have these guys, we're in Genesis and you kids, you're building the foundation, the building blocks of your faith. And so you guys were in the beginning of all this, 1 through 11, the foundation. We have so many foundational principles in Genesis, and it's exciting. And to come to the Word of God excited, and I hope you never get to a place where, you know, oh, I've heard that again and heard that again. And just how the Word of God is full of newness of life and so many lessons and corrections and you know, just thinking on that too, how, you know, sometimes some people will read the Word of God as if it's somebody else's mail. And, you know, a lot of people do read the Bible and it is somebody else's mail because they don't have that regeneration of new life, that new beginning that they're born again. And they'll read through it and go, well, this was for that time, for those people at that time. And a lot of people read the letters as, well, that was just for them. And you can kind of hear them say, well, as they're teaching it, that they're saying, well, this in that context was only for those people at that time. But this Word of God is, you know, if you're born again and been regenerated, you've had that new life imparted to you, okay? That regeneration, that excitement of what God does in this new walk with Him. And He walks with you, and you walk with Him, as we've been learning these weeks, that this is... this Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, for each and every one of us, this is a letter, a love letter from God to you. You're not, this isn't just for Noah and the beginnings, and you will see that God will speak to you even in these old chapters thousands of years ago. And we have some things in this chapter that, you know, have been worked in my heart, and I read that and I'll think back and like, oh man, you'll have that kind of that gut punch where God will show you of how you've acted in the past and how you've treated people in the past. And we will see how Noah and his sons, how Ham treats his father. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we will see these things. So as you read the Word of God, you kids, as you're building the building blocks, as we're going to see the life is in the blood. And then we're going to see the covenant and the promises of God. And we will see, and then we will see in the New Testament. So we have, it's so cool how the Word of God is just, I mean, there's so many different parts of the Word that we can go from just chapter 9 in Genesis and how it is all over the map. And so that life abundant in God's Word, that you would be abundant in your life, be fruitful and multiply, and just a new life, right? That we, Noah's commanded to fill the earth, right? Repopulate the earth. And in chapter 8, at the end, you know, even with this, how God says, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we see that for ourselves, as we see that in today's age and how new technology and we're getting close. We heard it this morning how, you know, we have the access to all of the sin of the world, and it is increasing, and it's all about self, the self life, and we are getting close, right? Maranatha, God, He is going to come suddenly, and He's going to take us away, and He's going to, I believe, say, come up hither, right? Come up here, and we're going to meet Him in the air, and you know, our hearts, we're still sinful. We still have that sin nature, but the grace of God. So the grace and mercy. We're going to see his mercy, the fingerprints of mercy in this chapter. And so be excited in your walk. And sometimes it's easy to get in those times in life where it's just kind of repetitive. I've heard this. And you know, I'm going through a lull. I have to admit a period of waiting for something. And God told you to wait and you're just waiting patiently. But the times can be kind of dull, as it were. But take those times to study and to learn God's word and to know him more. And then, you know, as we're told to meditate on these things, right? Daily, that act I'm corrected too. You know, I'll get in that habit of just scrolling up on TikTok or Instagram, and you get trapped in this inflow of the world trying to put their ideas into you. And that reminder to sit down and open a physical Bible, because it's so easy. You know, I'll read a lot of my chapters and devotional on my phone. Then you'll get that alert, or somebody sends you a message. Then you'll pause what you're doing. Then you'll get sucked into the ways of the world. And so open up your physical Bibles and just, man, it's exciting. And so life abundant, and how God gives life abundant. Jesus says, I came that we would have, Jesus said, not me, but he said that he came to give life abundantly. And the enemy is here to destroy, to thieve, to steal from your joy, to steal, to rob you of your joy. And you'll rejoice in the Lord always, that command that we are to rejoice. And so let's continue. But you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is its blood. So we're getting some foundational principles of God teaching us about the blood, the lifeblood. And here he says, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Okay, so now you think of government, guys. We have foundational principles of God instituting after the flood, you know, and he's instituting for mankind, Noah, it's maybe not as perfect as it should be, but you know, we hear of capital punishment, the fight to end capital punishment, but God's word will show us that capital punishment is from God, right? Those are foundational principles of, you know, unfortunately there are those translations that'll, you know, from the Ten Commandments that we all, you know and that you should be looking at, you know, because I was talking to somebody and they say, well, what about thou shalt not kill, right? And then, well, we shouldn't kill anybody. But that, you know, to know that God's command is thou shalt not murder, that premeditated murder. And it is justice for God to institute that a life for a life, right? And so for the order of man, that God's instituting government principles for mankind to abide by for law and order. And so for verse 6, he says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. And so when you're talking to people and they say, what do you think about capital punishment? Yes, we believe in it, because that order God would institute in a law-abiding governmental society, God's putting society together for man, knowing man's heart is wicked, is only desperately wicked. And so he puts in, so all these foundational principles in Genesis 9 that we're getting. So, and then we're going to see the life is in the blood and the importance of blood. Maybe you've grown up hearing about the blood. What's this about the blood? Why is the blood so important? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we hear those kinds of things, and we will get in the Word of God in the very beginning the principles that are so important to get a grasp on. And so then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth, with you of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And so God's, the covenant, the promise that he makes, and how important this would have been to somebody like Noah and his sons to have looked up and to have seen the rainbow. I was here listening to one guy teach, and he was, you know, the idea that possibly with that vapor canopy over the earth, and how God designed the earth before the flood, and how that was all changed, how maybe the sky had this rainbow effect over the whole earth, and how the earth would have looked before. And so that was crazy to think of, how you think of God's creation before that, how beautiful, you know, the amazing things we get to think of, and you think of the temple and the colors and the glass and the walls and the color. It's wild to think about as you study God's word. And so, and then for that to be taken away, and then we know that, you know, light and the vapor in the air, we know that that's the rainbow, and that's all from God. We can get into the scientific elements of the 12 elements that have to perfectly come together to make this rainbow in the sky. And so, but the rainbow. And so what's very interesting is God gives this promise, and how we know that there's those that will say that this was a locational flood. And I mean, people that teach the Bible, they'll say that this was in one location, a regional flood, and how it couldn't have possibly been that the whole earth was covered with water above all the mountain peaks. We take that by faith, knowing that's what God's word says. And so if it was regional, you got to imagine then God is a liar, right? Because there has been floods, many floods, you know, continually. I mean, the Red River, where in Grand Forks, you think of those floods that have taken people's lives and homes, and how that would attack God's integrity and his promise that, you know, if it was regional, then God would be a liar. And because we've seen the floods all over the world, but God says his promise is that the whole world will not be taken out by a flood. And so God's promises. And so we came from the blood, the life is in the blood, and now we have a promise. And so we have the blood of the covenant, we have the covenant, we have the blood, we have God's promises. And so to relate to this to us, turn over to Hebrews 9. As we're working on our foundation, our faith, that we have faith and we have grace, we have God's mercy on the cross, the importance of God's blood being shed on the cross to wipe away our sins. Go to Hebrews 9, we will see the promise of the new covenant that is why we gather. So chapter 9, we will look at verses 11 through 15. As you kids, you're, like I said before, you guys are, you're building your foundation blocks, and it's good for us to hear this again as we get to writer of Hebrews says in chapter 9, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, as we see in chapter 9, right? You see these things, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And so Jesus Christ, right, being that offering on the cross, the shed blood, the life in the blood put on the mercy seat. We're going to see God's mercy, how important his mercy is, because at the end, I think this is cool, because I've got something for 2026 for Calvary Chapel Grand Forks that we're going to meditate on all year, month after month. And so really trying to get that idea of mercy, right, for us, and in this chapter of God's mercy and how the promises, right, the covenant of God's mercy, and how we, week after week, no matter our sin and how we've been living and our scorecard that we give ourselves, man, it is all our sins are wiped away as far as the east is from the west. And so, man, we come to that and knowing that we can go forward and know that the promises, the sure word of God is so important. So, we praise God for his mercy, and just looking at mercy and the overlooking how God overlooks, you know, all of our sin. And that's foundational in our faith, and to carry that with us. And so, and Jesus said, and God says, verse 15, back to Genesis 9, right? Genesis 9 to Hebrews 9, the blood, the covenant, the promises, those little things you guys will pick up as the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you study God's word. How exciting and cool that is to read that, and then how the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all these things as you're reading them with your own eyes. And so we left off in 14, right? The rainbow, that sign. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud. And notice what he says, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. And so every time you see a rainbow, maybe it's a double rainbow, right? The cool YouTube videos of the man that sees the double rainbow, right? Full on double rainbow. To know that even today, you know, you imagine God will look down and he looks on it. He looks on it and remembers it as we look up and remember God's promise. Those little signs that God gives us everlasting, right? This everlasting covenant. This was for a short period of time, but how, you know, you imagine, like I said before, Noah and his sons being able to look at that, how important that was for them those years after when a storm came through, and just those reminders to have their mind set on things above as they looked above, and they would look upon that, knowing that God was looking upon that promise and those promises, and God's still looking upon the blood on the mercy seat, right? He looks upon that with us and knowing that all your sins are washed away. So to have joy, to rejoice over that, even in our pains and our trials and our sufferings, and we'll see in Psalm 103 that, you know, that he heals all of our diseases. And we may be sitting here thinking, well, what about my, you know, hurtings that I have now? But, you know, God, that promise that that'll all be made new, and the new bodies that we're looking forward to. And so good news, man, good life abundantly. This word of God is full of good news, right? The good news that God loves us, that this is his letter to us. So read it as if he's speaking to you, because he is. Okay. So, and then verse 18, let's get down to Noah and his sons, seeing, right, that the sin nature is still with these guys. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the whole earth was populated. Okay, we can all, if we did a DNA test, we would be able to track our lineage all the way back to these guys, and obviously all the way back to Adam and Eve. So we all come from Noah, from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we'll see, Acts will have a representation of these three guys reconciled to God, and how the world will twist some of this to make us think something different. Well, let me get there. And he says, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard, and then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Interesting to look at that. And, I was even thinking and listening to I think it was Chuck was teaching this, and he gave this idea that possibly before the flood that there are those that would believe, because of the there's proof of how the fermentation process was about, that interesting to think about is that before the flood, it could have been that the conditions of the atmosphere didn't ferment the grapes and all of that before all that. And then, that he became a farmer and a vineyard, and kind of goes back to what he remembers in the time before. And so here he goes to work and to plant a vineyard, and then he drinks of the wine and became drunk. And well, it was interesting to think of that. And but what we know that, and there's those too that will say back then, maybe they'll say, well, back then wine didn't have, in the old days, didn't have alcohol in it. And then, but we can read that and go, obviously it did, because he became drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And so let's see Ham. And Ham, okay, the father of Canaan, he saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth, they took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and they went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. And setting this out, reading this, guys, we can, because if you listen to others, which I tend to exhort you guys to just listen to the Holy Spirit and read the Word of God and see what it says, we can add a lot of things to this to say that this was a lot more than it could have been. And I'm not going to say it's one or the other, but I can look at it and just, but I think the main principle we will get out of this is what I'll teach here in a second, but is that all we see is that Ham, the father of Canaan, he saw the nakedness of his father. Okay. We don't know. It doesn't say that he did anything more than that. Okay. And because there's others, if you read through Leviticus, how seeing the nakedness of that can imply that there was physical and all that. But I would say that we could just take what it says and say that he saw the nakedness and of his father. But we can see the heart of Ham if we just look at this and be careful, okay, and say, but Shem and Japheth, because we're going to see something about Ham here. And so search your own heart as you look at this and you consider this is their father. Okay, Ham saw his father. And what does Ham do? He goes and tells his brother outside. Okay, we see in Proverbs 20 how wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, right? That the wisdom for us believers, the wisdom is to stay away from alcohol. But is it a sin to drink alcohol? It's not a sin. Okay, but I believe, and that, you kids, as you grow up, I don't know what you guys are planning to do as you get older and you get free from your moms and dads, that, you'll have got liberty to do what you want. Now the wisdom would be that if you don't start something, you'll never have to go on a whatever to get off of it. The best way to keep yourself and to honor God and to walk in his ways and to trust in him is don't even start, right? Don't even begin it, because that's where the enemy gets them. Oh, you have the liberty to do these things. It's not a sin to do it. Then you take one, and then it becomes, and then it becomes two, and then it becomes, Noah, right? He drank the wine and he became drunk. Was he planning to get drunk? We don't know, but that's what happened. He became drunk and he became uncovered. And you will learn that wherever there's alcohol and drunkenness, there's usually sexual sin. And those two, a lot of times, go together, and a lot of bad things. Right? We're not at the university now, but if we were, we see that is the way of the kids that they get out, and the 18, and a lot of the young ladies that go, they go with good and pure intentions, and one night of poor judgment turns into a whole horror story for a lot of young ladies, and the statistics are terrifying. And so for young 18, 19 year old gals to go and the sin, right? The traps and then the trappings, and then it leads into other drugs. And so my advice, stay away from it. Don't even start. But back to Ham. Okay. He tells his brothers, he goes and we will see. And went backward, and their faces were turned away. We see Shem and Japheth and their respect for their father to cover him up. But verse 24 says, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Did he find out from his other sons that Ham was mocking him, and look at my father, and here he is naked in his tent, So what am I trying to say with that is that so Ham, he is mocking his father, okay? And it's easy for us to do too, is that if somebody, and you can apply this to a whole wide area of sin in other people's lives, and we can either mock at them, right? As Ham does, as he tells others, and hey, bros, go look at dad, and look at the fool he's made of himself, okay? And we can disrespect, and God says, and he will go, and one of the top 10 commandments is what? Honor your father and your mother. And it doesn't say if your parents are, you know, remember this, okay? You children with our fathers and parents, it doesn't say if your parents did everything really well and perfectly. It doesn't say then you can honor your father and your mother. God's command, and how important this is in our foundational walk with the Lord, to the importance of respect for our parents. Okay, Ham didn't, and Shem and Japheth, right? We see they out of respect and honor for their parents, they covered their father. Okay, and so think of this. 1 Peter 4:8. If you make notes of this, that 1 Peter 4:8, drawing from Proverbs 10:12, says, I'm gonna read the whole thing, because a love covers a multitude of sins. And if we look at mercy, you know, if you look up what mercy means, that, you know, it's God, you're overlooking the transgressions of another, and the mercy that we show to other people, and are you merciful to other people? Even if they're making a fool of themselves and are in sin, and they're, you know, family members or anything like that. And Peter tells us, you and me, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And that's a proverb 10:12 that he takes that from. And so Shem and Japheth, they cover their father's nakedness, and Ham, right? He is not respectful to his father. Can we overlook the transgressions and the sins of people in our life that they've done to us? Maybe you've had a bad father. Maybe you've had a bad mother. Maybe you've had grandparents that weren't the greatest. Can we overlook, right? Can we have that respect and that honor for those in our lives that maybe didn't do everything amazing? Right? Maybe they were just bad parents, but the wisdom to draw from this, right? The mercy that God shows us, that we would in turn have that mercy for others in our lives. And I think that's, you know, if you look at that and how Ham does to his father, to tell his brothers, to the disrespect, right, that he shows for his father, even in his sin, is way of whatever was going on there. And because we see what Noah does. He wakes from his wine, and then he said, now this is, highlight this, guys, because this was taken out of context. We saw in the slave trades, these were verses that were taken to show that we should, that God cursed Ham. But it doesn't say, he says, cursed be Canaan. Okay, so the descendants of Ham, black people, right, that is not the curse that they received. And that is not, this is not an excuse to be like, well, we can look down upon or think lesser of, well, they're that way and they have all these ways in their lives to be lesser people than us. This is a perversion of scripture to say that the man is black because that was the curse that God gave them. And so they're just a cursed ethnicity or race. Okay. Because he says, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. It doesn't say Ham. And he said, Noah, these are the only words that are Noah's, what Noah says. And these are the words that come out of Noah's mouth. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. Hey, we'll see as you continue to read through your Bible devotionally, all of the things of the Canaanites as you study that out, and how Canaan and the land of Canaan and Abraham as we get there, and all these cool things that we will study out. And God says, Noah says, may God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And so the point I want to say with that too is that you will look at what God does with the Gentiles, with Japheth, Shem, and Ham. If you look at the book of Acts, we have the Ethiopian eunuch. Here we have a representation of Ham, right? Born again into the church, equal with us, right? God is not a respecter of persons. We will see Paul, a representation of Shem, of the tribe of Shem and what came of Eber and the Hebrews. And then we have Cornelius, who is a representation of Japheth, all put under that same tent, as it were, of the church, right? The born again, the body of Christ, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and all there in the book of Acts. And so get all that thoughts of what man tries to make us think of others being lesser than us, and they're that way because they're cursed from the beginning, and so they are not of value to God. So take care of that. And so verse 28, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So for Noah, through all of that, to have that just be the only sin recorded in his life, of that, you imagine the importance that God has that written in here for us to learn from. So to honor your parents, honor your father, honor your mother, love them, right? Have mercy on them. Overlook those things that may bother you, right? As Jesus, imagine the mercy that we receive from God, that he overlooks, and that while we are yet sinners, okay? Examine your own heart and your own ways, that God overlooks all of that. He washes it away as far as the east is from the west. So with that, as Noah says, blessed be the Lord. I've got something for Calvary Chapel Grand Forks for this year, 2026, and to take with us, guys, through the year. And we're going to go through the whole chapter, not tonight, but something for you guys to bookmark, okay, every day, January, verse 1. So turn your Bible to Psalm 103 and really praying this through and seeing God at work here as Noah, blessed be the Lord, and to have our eyes set on the Lord, to bless the Lord rather than our eyes set on ourselves and all of our problems and issues in life, and to just meditate on all things, all these things, okay, guys? Meditate on the mercy of God in your life. And so to kind of set us off in this new year for what God has for us as we pray about outreach this summer and and evangelism that I believe will go out and evangelize in Grand Forks, that others could taste and see how good the Lord is, that they'd be saved, and that God would add to the church daily those who are being saved. So an important chapter for us guys this year, it was Psalm 103. And so verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So guys, meditate on that and just praise him for how good he is, right, in your life, and repent where there needs to be repentance in your attitudes and your ways of thinking about others, right? And to know that God looks at every single human being in your life, that he desires that they be saved. Okay, like every single person, even the worst person you can think of, that is just like, there is no possible way that person can get saved because they are so far gone, that you would 2026 start praying for them, because God desires that they would be saved. And so to have that heart for your neighbors, so where you guys live, all around us, your workmates. So bless the Lord, right? And all that is within you. You can meditate on that this month, okay? I'll probably say it every week as you really consider David in that psalm, and as he gets older in his age and he learns this appreciation of God's mercies as the sins that he committed. And you think of Psalm 51 and how he just begs the Lord, do not take your spirit from me, right? As he looks back on his life and just thinks of the terrible things he did with Bathsheba and killing her husband, putting him on the front lines, Uriah, right, guys? You think of a man like David, you know, this psalm. I mean, you guys could read Psalm 103 every day of your life and just be blessed by it because it's so rich. And so 2026, guys, Psalm 103, that we would, because we're going to end the year with the same phrase, bless the Lord, right? Oh my soul and all that is within me, right? And it's everything is within him that he thinks and ponders. And he just, you know, you might be thinking of somebody and just, all the grumblings that we can get about people, and God and David encourages us, right? Bless the Lord, everything that is within you every day, and to meditate on that. And so guys, hope that blesses you, and we'll talk a lot about it this year, Psalm 103. So let's put that in our hearts, memorize it. So January, let's memorize verse 1. And then February, we'll do 2 and 3. And so guys, let's put 103 in our hearts, because I think it'll transform us, because 103, like I said, is going to put our eyes on things above. It's going to put our eyes on what the Lord has done and how gracious and merciful he is. And we see Shem and Japheth and how honoring they were to his father to overlook his sin, to have mercy on him out of respect, to cover him, and how God covers his love, covers a multitude of sins. And so, Father, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this chapter. Thank you for your promises as we look at these simple foundational truths of your word. And yes, we do have communion. Thank you, Sarah. We do have communion. And so, Lord, we just come. We come and we praise you. Here we have the blood. We have these truths in this chapter to show us so many cool things, Lord. And so we praise you. We love you. And we can come to communion with a greater appreciation of your mercy and your love. And so we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.